My dear sisters and brothers in Christ, how wonderful that we begin the celebration of the 25th year for the Council of Major Superiors of Women Religious with the Eucharist, nourished with the bread of God's Word and the bread of God's body. You will have strength for the journey of these next days. And isn't God good that we gather in this week when the whole church has been listening to chapter 11 of the Gospel of St. Luke? You remember that chapter begins with the words, "He was praying in a certain place, and when he had finished, one of the disciples said to him, 'Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples.'" So Jesus teaches us to pray. And there are three episodes. Yesterday we heard the first, when Jesus teaches the great communal prayer of the church, the Our Father. We just heard the second episode, on the importance of persistence in prayer. And I believe tomorrow we'll hear the third, a teaching on the effectiveness of prayer. This evening's gospel reading reminds me of an image of God that a friend of mine calls the vending machine God. The image that if we pray enough, sacrifice enough, perform enough good works, repent enough, God will not only lead us to heaven, but more importantly, he'll give us what we're asking for. Now, it's an honest program. I confess that a temptation to pray with this image, the vending machine God, assails me at the start of every Notre Dame football game. A superficial glance on Jesus' teaching on prayer makes the generous assurance, "Ask and you shall receive." And it sounds a bit like a blank check, until we try it. And then when it appears that our requests are unheeded, it becomes a call for skepticism, or better, resignation. So Jesus gently reminds us that the God to whom we pray is not the clerk of a heavenly warehouse who simply fills the orders that reach him. God is Abba, a loving Father whose care for us does not permit him to grant us anything that would harm us. And so God's apparent silence can lead us to a faith-filled reflection in which we ask ourselves, is it possible that what I'm praying for could be a scorpion or a snake, something that ultimately would harm us? But tonight, at the start of the National Assembly of CMSWR, I think we should pay some attention to the end of the Gospel reading, where Jesus says, "How much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" Luke presents the gift of the Holy Spirit as the response of the Father to the prayer of the Christian disciples. I hear Jesus trying to help us see that God is with us always, and that God is not cheap. For the language of consecrated life always must be a language of abundance. The Holy Spirit is the wellspring of our celebration tonight. For the church has recognized in each of your institutes a gift of the Holy Spirit. St. John Paul II reminds us that through the many charisms of spiritual and apostolic life bestowed on you by the Holy Spirit, you help to make the mystery and mission of the church shine forth, and in doing so, contribute to the renewal of the world. In every age, the Holy Spirit shows forth the richness of the practice of the evangelical councils, through a multiplicity of charisms. In this way, the Spirit makes ever-present in the Church and in the world, in time and space, the mystery of Christ. Pope Benedict XVI often put it this way, that the whole of consecrated life was like a great rainforest in which there were a variety of plants, some old, some young, some sturdy, some needing special care, but all of them together produced a sort of spiritual oxygen that allowed the Church to breathe. The Heavenly Father will give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him. Jesus promises this. And so we ask the Father to bestow again the Spirit so that this assembly might accomplish the work before it. While your agenda has a number of items, it seems to me that your collaboration of all of your institutes in CMSWR really has two fundamental tasks. In the words of Pope Francis, it is crucial that you have an ear to the heart of God and a hand on the pulse of the times. An ear to the heart of God and a hand on the pulse of these times. These are two pillars of authentic consecrated life. On the one hand, contact with God. God has priority. God loved us first. And before anything comes into our mind, God has already preceded us with His immense love. His love precedes this assembly. And so St. Paul warns us not to claim anything as coming from ourselves, because our sufficiency comes to us from God. Therefore, the recognition of all the good that has been accomplished by CMSWR over the last quarter century should lead you to profound humility and unbridled gratitude that admits no self-sufficiency. Even the challenges you are facing are invitations to a more profound trust in God's providence. Mother Teresa of Calcutta once explained to me her dependence on God for all the work of her sisters. She told me that God never gave her too much for fear that she would forget Him. The second pillar is constituted by the expression to feel the pulse of the times, of reality, of people. Francis reminds us that a charism is not an exhibit from a museum, which stands untouched in a display case, to be contemplated and nothing more. Fidelity to the charism, keeping it pure, in no way means closing it in a sealed bottle, as if it were distilled water, to prevent it from being contaminated by the outside. No, a charism is not preserved by keeping it aside. It must be opened and allowed to go out, so that it may come into contact with reality, with people, with their anxieties, with their problems. This is essential for the health of your institutes. What Pope Francis said of the Church is true for our congregations. If we become self-referential, if our eyes are turned in on ourselves, we inevitably become sick. We must have our eyes looking out, because it is in this way, in this fruitful encounter with reality, the charism grows. It's renewed, and reality is also transformed. It's transfigured through the spiritual power that this charism bears. This assembly is an occasion to reflect on how each of your institutes will keep an ear to the heart of God and bring your charism into contact with reality, with people, with their anxious questions. Clearly, sisters, carrying out such a task is impossible for us alone. So we pray, come Holy Spirit, come source of our lives, come Father of the poor, come and teach us, come renew the face of the earth. And may Mary, who was so open to that Spirit, that the Word of God could take flesh within her, may Mary, who was faithful to the end, loving Jesus at the foot of his cross and rejoicing in his resurrection, but most of all, Mary, who is Mother of the Church, praying with the disciples for the gift of the Holy Spirit, accompany you during this marvelous celebration of your 25th anniversary.